Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Hap-Up Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I've got Lita with me. How are you doing, Lita?
I am doing well. I got to see myself on TV a lot yesterday, and that's really what matters.
It's very true. We were basically, to set this up, if for whatever reason you have not been listening to our podcast at all and you've missed the countless times that we've told you that we were in Vegas and bragged about probably being on TV. Yes, we took a trip to Vegas. Lita won a contest and we got to go out there and we were in the audience as they competed in Vegas. You can see us in the background of basically every sideline interview. If you look, anytime they focus in on the athlete, we sweep into the shot from the left.
Swoop in. Yeah. Just totally steal their moment.
Usually not paying attention.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what they don't tell you, for anyone who's confused by this, is that when those interviews are happening, the next person is already starting to run. So when we look completely disinterested in the interview, it's because we're watching a different run, not because we don't care.
And if you want to look out, it's basically when they get to the domino pipes, we were in front of those on the left side toward the front of the bleachers. You can probably see us in the stands there. I imagine you'll get to see us some more in the next episode as well. I think we got even closer to the front toward the second half of the night. So you may be able to see us a little more next time. But that was an interesting trip to Vegas. I had to fly to Detroit, and then from Detroit, we flew to Vegas. The problem was the flight got delayed like 5 hours, and I was stuck in an airport with you.
Oh my God. Well, when you tell it like that, I thought we had a fun time, but guess not.
I mean, I did eat Popeyes for the first time. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, and the second time and the third time on that trip.
No, I think it was only twice.
Okay. What was the day that the Big Brother cast bios came out?
I think it was on the way back. Or no, the cast videos, yeah. But Paul was announced.
Paul was announced on the way back, but the cast was announced on the way there.
Yes, that's true. So we were trying to watch the cast interviews because I had to do the cast preview the next day. I also had very little sleep going into it. I was hoping to be able to sleep before the filming once we got to Vegas, but we were delayed so long that by the time we got to Vegas, I was like about to pass out. You were very tired as well.
I know.
And we had about like an hour before the taping, and I tried to sleep, but it didn't work. So I got like a caffeinated tea or something. I don't usually do this sort of thing, but we went to Starbucks and I got some sort of tea, and it was caffeinated. And I also got a morning cinnamon morning roll. Yes,
which is definitely a sufficient dinner.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we were very tired and also extremely hungry and very hot. It's hard to tell. You can't tell on TV how hot it was because you don't sweat, because your sweat evaporates immediately. So no one looks hot, but everyone is dehydrated.
I always look hot.
Oh, my God. There is a moment where I'm behind, I think it's Lance Pecus, and you can see me just like chugging water. And I was like, yeah, that's really attractive. But we were staying hydrated. It was a fun time, in my opinion. Maybe you felt differently.
Well, we arrived and I was like, as we arrived, I was like on death's door about to fall asleep. And then we spent the entire night there on very hard bleachers that are not nice for the rear end portion of my body.
Yeah, but, you know, it was exciting at times.
At times.
Okay. Wow.
No, it was great.
You seem very grateful for this experience.
There's a reason why we were able to muster up the strength and courage to stay the entire night. And that's because it's very fun to watch these athletes run this course.
And we got to talk to some athletes. They're just hanging around.
Yes.
That was fun.
Yeah, I believe you got a picture with Michelle Warnke in the bleachers.
I did, yes. I got several pictures. You met some important competitors to you.
Yeah.
From perhaps an international version.
Well, I think that was the second night. So oh, okay. we'll tell that story at a later date.
Okay, that's fine. Remember when it rained? I totally forgot about this. Yeah. It rained. Like, it was supposed to start filming like right when it got dark. And then as soon as that happened, it just poured rain for like 1 second.
It was like a minute or two. And then it was done and they had to like wipe things off, but it was also evaporating like faster than they could wipe it off. So it didn't really matter. But yes, it was very, very surreal.
Yeah. Everything about the beginning of that night was very strange.
And also, I know we've mentioned this previously, but Matt and Akbar, pay attention to this for the next episode. When they're standing in that big thing, they are in fact wearing like pants that are actually shorts.
Pants that are actually shorts, also known as shorts.
Yeah, but they're weird shorts. They're not like regular people shorts. They're like shorts with like a rolled up thing at the bottom. Yeah,
they may have been rolled up pants.
Yeah. And they like big long socks. Like they looked very silly every time they came out of that thing. And they have to climb a ladder to get up there. It's not like a nice little staircase. It's like this ladder that's just kind of like leaning. It's not, nobody was even watching it. They just have to climb the thing.
Yeah, well, they're athletes themselves. Akbar is training for American Ninja Warrior right here.
Oh, there you go. So there we go. Very interesting stuff. We stayed the whole night. I actually wrote down some notes as we were watching, so I'll be able to give you a little bit of insight as we go. And then, of course, we actually were able to talk to some of the athletes along the way. And as we were recording interviews for this podcast, we talked to Megan Martin. We talked to John Alexis Jr., the Giant. We got their takes on their experiences in Vegas. So as we talk about them, we can splice in their commentary on their runs. And of course, we talked to James and Alyssa, and they promised us they would come back and talk about Alyssa's run, Alyssa's great run. So hopefully we'll be talking to them on Friday and get that podcast out to you, hopefully by Saturday. So you can hear Alyssa talk about her groundbreaking, amazing, great run.
Yeah. And it's Megan Martin's birthday today. So this is an extra special podcast.
Well, you know, the last time we talked to Megan Martin, it was her 1 week until her birthday day. And you actually forgot about it. And it was pretty disappointing for you.
I didn't forget about it. I just forgot to mention it on the podcast to her.
Oh, it's just like I didn't forget about your birthday. I just forgot to mention it to you on that day.
Or to anyone or post anywhere about it. Okay. No, got it.
I'm just saying, I you know, don't throw stones in a glass house.
I wished her happy birthday today already. So.
All right. All right. So we start off the episode of the Vegas National Finals with a preview of the course. We start out with Snake Run, a very tricky, very like dangerous obstacle. We saw a lot of people stumble here. We saw some people go out here. It's just a series of, I believe, six or so little platforms that are angled that you have to run across to get to the other side. Really, I don't understand why the athletes even bother trying to do this like in a fancy way. Just like be cautious with it. You had plenty of time this version of stage one. You don't need to sprint through this thing.
Yeah, I guess so. And it's also weird because it's not like the floating steps where they're all basically at the same angle. They're just different distances apart. The second one is facing like almost completely away from you. So if you jump on it, like you'll slide.
Yes.
Like some people were able to do it, but it doesn't really make sense to jump to the second one just logistically.
Exactly. Then we had the propeller bar where you jump from a trampoline up to this big propeller. You have to grab onto one of the sides as you spin around, then grab the rope and swing across to the platform. Always a tricky one. Usually trips a few people up, but I don't think we actually saw anyone fall here this episode.
No, but it's still a good obstacle in stage one because it can be a real time suck.
Yes. If you don't get that rope, and it can really wear out your arms there if you're not careful. Then we go into the new obstacle, the double dipper. I gotta say, I love this obstacle.
Yeah, me too. It looks fun. It's a great test of like holding on from that impact, and it's really fast. So it's good for TV.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Fun to watch them do it. No one has to like get hung up on it forever.
And people can do backflips off of it. It's great.
Yeah. That's true.
So very happy to see this as a new obstacle. Then they go into the jumping spider, classic from Sasuke. Always got to get through the jumping spider. Sorry, I didn't describe the double dipper. You grab the bar. If you've seen the Big Dipper, it's very much like that. You grab a bar that is on rails. You slide the bar down, and then you have to jump across 8 feet to the next bar, and then that one slides down as well. It's very much like a roller coaster, and then you dismount onto the landing platform.
Yeah. Then, do you just love it because you love roller coasters because you're an adrenaline junkie?
I hate you. Then we get to the jumping spider, where you jump from the trampoline into the curved wall that gets narrower and narrower as it curves in, and you have to plant yourself with your hands and your feet into the wall, and then climb through the wall with your hands and your feet, keeping yourself up on either side like a spider. Kind of, with four legs. And then you get through the wall, land on the other side, boom, you did the jumping spider.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about how little it's like a spider when I'm thinking about it.
Next up, we have another new obstacle. It's very similar to some that we've seen before, but they have a new name for it. It's called the parkour run, where they have to run across probably like six different platforms that are angled. Then jump across to one, back over to a bigger one, and then jump onto a rope and swing across to a very narrow platform. This is a very simple obstacle where not a lot of people are going to fall, but if you're not careful about your rope placement and where you land, you can really eat up a lot of time here. And we saw some very disappointing runs, disappointing finishes for runs, I believe, because they got hung up on this particular obstacle.
Yeah. And this obstacle, the one nice thing about it, I think, is that it's the only real core test in stage one, because there isn't anything like the when you like do a plank and like crawl through the thing. What is that called? The body prop. That's what it's called. I think, yeah, because there isn't something like the body prop that's pure core. I like that they have the parkour run because the rope is just a little too short to get to the platform with your feet fully on it. So usually people land with just their toes on it and they have to totally save themselves by locking in their core and getting up there.
Yes, and there was a little like edge to the platform, like a hammerhead shark that you could really like lock your legs onto if you were clever enough. And we saw some people do that.
Just like a hammerhead shark.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I bet somebody knows what I'm talking about. Tell me if you know what I'm talking about with the hammerhead shark audience. So then you go to the warped wall, which is similar to the one from qualifying. However, you don't have as much of a run up here. It's curved on the back end as well. So you have to do a little run down before you run up. But then you climb up the warped wall and you get to another new obstacle, the domino pipes. And I have to say, these looked insanely difficult before we saw almost everyone succeed doing them.
Yeah, okay, well, the reason they look so difficult is that they would just be, like, no one is on the course, there's no wind, and one of them would just, like, tip over. And yeah, we were like, oh my god, those things are so sensitive, like, they're tipping over without anything touching them, like, these people are not going to be able to balance on these, but I guess it's not that hard.
Yes, this was the obstacle that we were sitting in front of, and the course resetter people had a very difficult time getting these to reset. They'd have to like very carefully like first they'd have to like get some momentum and then get it back up to where it was before, and then
with like a really long fishing pole.
Yes,
they were doing it.
And then like have to carefully balance it to make sure it doesn't fall. And something that you can't really see from your perspective on the show, they're weighted differently. So like they have little weight plates on the bottom of them, but some of them have more than others, and some of them are weighted on one side and not the other. So these actually will move at different, with a different amount of ease for each one. So again, looked insanely difficult, but very few people end up falling on this over the course of the night. There you go.
But when people did fall, it was really exciting because they would hold on to them.
Yes.
And like struggle to get back up,
as we saw Chris do. Then we finish it off with the flying squirrel, a returning obstacle. You jump from a trampoline onto this contraption with two handles, and then you have to swing yourself back and forth until you get enough momentum to jump to another contraption with two handles, and then swing again onto a cargo net, climb up, and hit the buzzer, and you have completed stage one, as long as you did it in under 2 minutes and I believe 35 seconds.
Yeah, which arguably too much time.
Yes, over the course of the night, we determined maybe they didn't need this much time.
Yeah, there were a couple of real nail biters, but
yes,
not too many.
So we kick off the night with Gabe Hurtado, the 32-year-old shoe salesman. He has he's got all the bandanas and his house burned down. Those are the two things about him.
It's like a great Twitter bio.
Yeah. He does a crazy move on the propeller bar. We didn't get to see a lot of the early obstacles because we were so far back, and they, for most of the night, did not have a monitor that we could watch the early obstacles. So we were just like, we would occasionally see a body like flail around on the double dipper, but that was about it. We saw them come out of the spider, jumping spider wall, and that was when we started to see them. So I didn't see this as it happened, but man, what a crazy move. He grabs onto it with his hands. Usually they're like grabbing on with their arms, and then just leaps off of it and manages to grab onto the rope. This is probably what killed his grip strength, because by the time he gets to the double dipper, he couldn't hang on through the second drop.
Yeah, the shock from the bar knocked him off.
Yes. So that was it for Gabe Hurtado. Next up, we had Karsten Williams, the 36-year-old personal trainer who has failed in stage one 3 times in a row. And he's hoping to not make it another failure here.
And he does not succeed in that goal.
Yes. He goes straight through the double dipper into the jumping spider, gets all the way to the domino pipes, but actually does become one of the few people who fails here.
And the Akbar says the domino effect is real.
It's real.
Which actually works on a couple levels, because it's like a domino effect of like he's failed a bunch of times in a row on stage one.
There you go.
Now he's doing it again. And also the domino pipes.
Yes. Then we get a preview. We are told this is the official. I mean, it's been announced previous to this, but I think this is probably the first time we're hearing the reason why this is happening on the show. Casey Catanzaro is retiring from American Ninja Warrior. She's doing it to pursue a career in the WWE.
Yeah. And she has chic red highlights to show that she's moving on to bigger and better things.
There you go. Yes, we heard about this in Vegas, and we were pretty surprised at the news. But, you know, it was like, good for her, I guess.
Who did we hear about this from?
I believe we overheard Michelle Warnke talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Michelle Warnke, just so people know, she was like in our bleacher section because she wasn't competing. Yes. For like a huge part of the night.
And she has all the goss.
She has all the hot goss. Basically, Michelle Warnke just told us what was going on, is what we're saying.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's exactly what happened. But yes, it was kind of the topic of the night. A lot of people were talking about it. It was, you know, everyone's talking about Casey. And as we've mentioned previously, you know, she was there looking amazing. You know, we'll talk about her run when we get to it. So next up, we have Maggie Thorne, the 35-year-old marketing consultant who gets another package about her divorce.
Yeah, they've really invested a lot in making Maggie Thorne a thing, whether it's the Jesse Graff effect or whatever it is, that she's a mom. I don't know, but they've really decided that she's a star.
Yes, they do that sort of thing where they recap the qualifying, like what happened there. I feel like it was her emotional outburst after completing the clacker, being the first woman to do so. That was the moment that they were really, really pushing. She says her motto is rise up, and it says so on her shirts.
Yeah, and Grant McCartney is wearing that hopping shirt as a crop top. It looks nice.
Yeah. Grant McCartney, we may have mentioned this before. He was all over the place, and we had no idea that he was not competing.
Yeah. We just kept being like, okay, so we still have Grant.
Yeah.
But no, he was just everywhere, just hanging out.
That's the way it goes. So Akbar says, as Maggie gets to the double dipper, he says, here's a secret. Let it go. Let it flow. Once you get to the end of the track, and then she falls.
Let it go. Let it flow. Once you get to the end of the track,
Yeah, there you go.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yes, so she ends up falling there on the double dipper. Down goes Maggie Thorne.
Yeah, I feel like now would be a good time to introduce a listener question. Okay. Before I forget about it, instead of doing them all at the end, so that we can kind of like watch for it for the rest of the episode. So we had someone on Twitter, Maya Lee, asked me, just me, hi Lita, not Taryn, she's not interested in your opinion. I want to make my senior quote an Akbarism. Do you have any suggestions? So I have a few, but as we go through this, if there are any that you think would be a good Akbarism for a senior quote.
Well, I wasn't asked, so.
I told her we would discuss it on the podcast.
Well, someone will discuss it. I don't know who she's going to discuss it with.
Help this poor girl with the senior quote. What was your senior quote?
Oh, I have no idea. I do not remember at all. Is that something I'm supposed to remember?
Yeah.
It was probably something silly.
I think you remember and you're just embarrassed.
I don't even know where my yearbook is. I don't even know how to find it.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry. What was yours?
I had two because my school was so small that we got to do a whole page for ourselves that we got to design ourselves. So I had the ending speech from Legally Blonde, where she's talking about how like first impressions are not always correct. Always be true to yourself. You must always have faith in others. And then I didn't have two. That was my only one. But my first one, they rejected. It was from Arrested Development. And it was when George Michael, because I just wanted something ridiculous. George Michael says, say what you will about America, but $13 still buys you a hell of a lot of mice. And they said that I wasn't allowed to say hell in my, quote. Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember somebody getting theirs rejected because it the first letter of each word spelled out something inappropriate.
Oh, wow. What a clever way to swear.
Yeah, it was very, very clever and original. Just like every single high school yearbook quote. So next up, we had Chris DeGangi, the 27-year-old software engineer.
Your bestie.
Yeah, his first season was season 4, which was the only time he'd ever made it to the national finals. But now that he's dating Jesse LeBrec, he's training on a whole other level.
Wait, did we even talk about Maggie Thorne's run?
Yeah, she fell in the double dipper.
Oh, okay. I kind of missed it.
Yeah.
It's fine. So, I was thinking about yearbook quotes.
Wow. Jeez.
Okay. Anyway, Chris DeGangi. He's here.
Yes. So he's dating Jesse now, and he's all of a sudden a superstar.
Yeah. And he has a master's in aerospace engineering. Which is,
yes,
hot.
I will say, I actually took a note down about Chris, not knowing that he was Jesse's boyfriend at the time. But yes, he goes on. He goes to the double dipper. Akbar says, dip, baby, dip. Let's go.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't know. Akbar, I think with these like obstacle names that have sort of onomatopoeias as their name, like dip, sort of. Not really an onomatopoeia, but have like these fun things to say. He gets very lazy.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, it's part of his charm.
Yeah, that's true.
He went out on the jumping spider all those many years ago. And so when he completes it this time, Akbar says he's been waiting 5 years to get his revenge.
Yeah, and I hope that that's enough for him.
Maybe.
Just getting through the jumping
he
spider.
Ends up missing on parkour run, but then does land. However, he falls at the end of the domino pipes, manages to hold on and pull himself back up, but not after a long period of time where he was struggling. And this was actually where I had written in my notes. Chris, he fell there, but actually a lot of people had fallen there previous to Chris. This was actually a pretty common spot for people to fall and get back up. But my note was that he clearly did not watch the other people because they were a lot better at getting up. He did not know the technique to get back up from that final domino. And he ends up spending a lot of time and energy trying to get back up and ultimately can't make the jump on the flying squirrel because of it. Honestly, if he had watched the other athletes do this, I think he easily could have cleared this course.
Classic Taryn talking trash about Chris DeGangi.
Look, I didn't even know. I didn't even know that I was going to have a rivalry with him at the time. I just saw how handsome he was, and I was like, ha, what a flaw. with the dominoes.
So petty.
Next up was a montage, starting with Jesse Juicero, who is
Lucero. Jesse Lucero.
Jesse Lucero, sorry. Starting with Jesse Lucero, who is one of, I believe they said like 15 walk-ons or something.
Yeah, something like that.
He ultimately goes out on the propeller bar. So there was one person that went out there. Then we had Matt Holt, who got a selfie in the beginning of the course, but the picture wasn't so pretty on Jumping Spider.
That wasn't a selfie. That was clearly a video.
Look, everyone knows that all picture taking and video taking has just fallen under the one big umbrella of selfieism.
I mean, it was like a selfie video, but that's not a selfie.
Then what do you call a selfie video?
A video that you take of yourself on your phone.
Like a selfie.
Yeah, but there are also other people in the video, so it's also a UE.
Well, you can also take a selfie with somebody else. Is that a UE as well?
I just feel like selfie implies photo.
Clearly not. Clearly, the language is evolving, just like it evolved to include selfie in the first place.
Okay, I am just out of touch with my own generation's lingo.
Clearly. Next up, we had Brian Wilczewski, who did not have a great night. Not only does he go out on the first obstacle here, but Lita ultimately decides that his brother is, in fact, more handsome than him.
I think that Brian, his hair is not working for me. And I don't know, he looked tired or something. He looked paler than usual. I was concerned for Brian, and also Chris is super fine.
Yes, the 25-year-old mechanical engineer. Man, this was unfortunate for him that this has become an inside joke that he fell on the first obstacle once. His parents are even wearing t-shirts about the fact that nobody falls on the first obstacle. And he actually does go down there again this time.
The Wilczewskis came up in the So You Think You Can Dance podcast discussion, like in the comments, because everybody was talking about how weird my taste in men is. Someone was like, I listened to Lita on the American Ninja Warrior podcast, so I already knew based on the Wilczewski brothers that I do not have the same taste as her.
There you go. He tried to jump to the second, straight to the second pad on Snake Run, and you can watch his foot just slides right off. It never even has a remote amount of traction. And I liked his sideline interview there. He's walking back and he just smiles up at the camera and says, I fell.
Aw.
Yep. So next up was Nick Hansen, the 29-year-old coach. His package is about his mother being an alcoholic, and I was actually Matt said this at the end of the package, that he appreciates her courage to come out with this and be open with it on a national scale, and I have to echo those sentiments. This was a very compelling package.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way that they handled it, I thought was excellent, where he's saying, like, I'm not saying that she was like a bad mom or a bad person or anything. Like, it's a disease. That's literally what it is. Like, it's not a character flaw. It's an illness. And so I was very appreciative of the way that they handled this.
Yes. So she's been sober for 6 years. And he says it's been so great. Completely has turned around. And his mother has always been there on the sidelines cheering him on. He timed out by 2 seconds last year in stage one. So he wants redemption. And so he takes on this course.
Yeah. And he gets his redemption. And it not only did he get his redemption, but it was like one of the most like nail biting, exciting ones of this episode.
Yes, he ends up finishing with the slowest time of the episode, finishes with just 5 seconds left. That's probably why they had him be the first finisher, because it was the most nail biting one of the night.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
So that was Nick. Then we have Judas Licardello, the 26-year-old auctioneer, the guy who I have been enjoying saying his name in the leaderboards for both qualifying and city final rounds, but we've never actually seen him before, as far as I can tell.
I'm glad that I just didn't totally blank on this person.
Apparently has been doing flips off of obstacles all along, but they never wanted to show it until now. He takes his phone out at the starting line and like very clearly pretends to talk on it. I don't know what was going on there. They didn't really explain that joke.
He's known for talking because he's an auctioneer.
I guess so. But wouldn't you be like pretending to be an auctioneer, not talking on your phone?
But they were saying, like, we know he can talk fast, but can he go
fast? But he wasn't even pretend talking fast. He wasn't like, oh, da, 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 da.
But he's like the best talker in all of American Ninja Warrior. Just let it go. Just go with it.
He comes from a family of auctioneers.
He's a third generation auctioneer.
He does the auctioning, then his father does it, and then his grandfather does it. I gotta say the grandfather seemed to be the best at it.
Yeah, well, he's had by far the most experience.
Yes. This is not the case where like the young buck has got all the talent now and he's taken over the job. No. It's old school. Old school has it here.
Yeah, but I bet his grandpa would suck at American Ninja Warrior.
Hey, now. he likes doing obstacles in different and fun ways. He ends up doing the Wilczewski jump on Snake Run and succeeds at it. Akbar says when he gets to the propeller bar, remember, he's got that iPhone 7 in his pocket. I'm not sure it's waterproof.
Yeah. Well, this is what I was worried about with Drew when he was listening to music.
Yes, well, Drew probably has like a cheap little iPod. You know, this guy, an iPhone 7. Clearly this signals to me that Akbar is like us, an Android guy.
Yeah, that must be what it is.
Because otherwise you'd know whether the iPhone is waterproof or not.
Yes, that is very true. Yeah. Akbar's one of the good guys. Also, Judas says that he likes Ninja Warrior because he gets to be the center of attention. So I'm immediately like relating to him.
Yes. I'm pretty sure Lita spent like at least 80% of the night just like posing for cameras as much as possible, which is very funny because I feel like only 10% of the shots from tonight were of those.
I was not posing. I thought you were gonna say staring at competitors, which is true.
Well, yeah, that was also true.
There were a lot of people there who weren't competing that I was like, I should just go talk to Dan Palese. He's probably not doing anything else.
Look, you know, you go to these things. Maybe this comes across. Maybe it doesn't. A lot of pretty people compete in American Ninja Warrior. They got a lot of pretty girlfriends and boyfriends, too. Just a lot of pretty people there.
Yeah, whatever. Maybe you could hear my eye roll through the podcast when Taryn said lots of pretty boyfriends and girlfriends. Whatever. Obstacles. That's what this is about, right?
What?
Well, I don't want them to have girlfriends. You don't need to bring that up, that they bring their partners.
Okay, fine. I know you were really upset that Crazy Craver had a pretty girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, I was devastated. He was still in his gold shorts and like all his stickers and stuff, but he wasn't competing.
Well, you know, it happens.
Okay. He's known for his costume, I guess.
All right, so then he does a backflip off of the double dipper and goes straight into the jumping spider and goes straight down into the water. They loved hyping this up in all the previews.
Yeah, it's always funny to me when Akbar and Matt are in the middle of like oh my god, that was amazing, and then they fall like while they're still praising him.
Yeah, it's very mixed emotions. They don't like it. It's like, no, let us celebrate for a second. Yeah,
just like one of the most amazing. Oh.
All right. So that was Judas. Next up, we had Barclay Stockett, the 22-year-old gymnastics coach. She had another package that was a recap of her qualifying run and the emotional, getting up the warped wall after having watched Casey. Then she falls into the water. She gets out. She flops over and everyone dogpiles on her, emotional stuff. And so she's here to take on stage one.
Yeah, I was rolling my eyes at the package being basically all about Casey, and then like out of nowhere I started getting really choked up and I was like, all right, well, I guess it worked.
Cuts right through the cynicism.
Yeah, it really does.
Barclay had a very compelling run to watch in person. She ends up slipping up on the parkour run, which was very unfortunate. It really cost her some time, and then of course gets hung up on the warped wall where Akbar calls her a pint-sized firecracker.
Yes, that is a true thing that she is. This was, I remember being like frustrated watching this when she's just sitting on the warped wall. And I'm like, I know that she's doing the best she can, but like, go.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure everyone was just yelling go.
Yeah. Like, she was like praying or something, which is fine. But like, I feel like she could have done it.
Yes. She gets hung up there on the warped wall and ultimately times out right before the flying squirrel. So very impressive run by Barclay, but ultimately cannot nail it down.
Yeah. And never got wet. Just gets to take a bow.
Yeah. I watched because she's like addressing the crowd at the end. And I'm pretty sure she's standing right in the line of sight for us. So like she's blocking like the two of us and yeah, everyone else you can see.
Just us. There was a lot of that getting interviewed by Christine where their head is blocking just us.
Then we had a weird segment in earlier runs. We had Anthony DeFranco, who goes down at the jumping spider, Yancy Cazeta, who goes down on the double dipper, and Kapu Gason, who also goes down on the double dipper. Then we had a montage starting with Lucas Gomez, who goes out on the propeller bar. And this was actually pretty interesting because we had been walking around and we had noticed the there's like a little area where the athletes are preparing for their runs, and they have like some training stuff there, you know, some pull-up bars and some trampolines to practice on. And he was practicing this trampoline jump like all night long for so long. He was practicing this trampoline jump. He gets to the propeller bar and ultimately messes the trampoline jump up, and that's where he goes down.
Yeah, poor Lucas. At least he knows he has a problem with trampolines.
Yeah. Maybe he psyched himself out. Who knows?
Yeah.
Next up was Lindsay Eskildsen, who they called her. She's like 5 foot something. She's short, and she came up short on the double dipper.
Lazy.
Yes. Then Michael Torres, who falls in on the inside of the jumping spider. Next up, we have the ageless wonder, Travis Rosen, the 42-year-old stock trader who he slipped up on Snake Run last year. And this is his 7th national finals appearance.
And did you know that he's old?
He is. He's 42 years old. Can you believe it?
Yeah. And they go into that by being like, well, Barclay was 22, but this guy, he's 42. It's like, oh, my God.
Travis, super solid up through the double dipper. He just makes this course look easy. He slips a little bit on the domino pipes, but manages to hold on to that landing platform to save himself and finishes the course. They say he is the oldest ever to finish stage one at 42 years old.
Beating his own record, which doesn't count.
This was actually a note. In case you couldn't tell from the screen, his kids are like ridiculously adorable.
Oh, I don't even know. I did not take note of that. I literally, on TV or in person.
It was one of like 7 notes that I took down. Travis Rosen's kids are super adorable.
How many are there?
I don't know, like 3.
I don't remember. In the ballpark
of 3. That's why I took a note down, because I wouldn't remember.
All right. Well, I just have no idea what you're talking about, but I trust.
I'm pretty sure what happened was like he came down and his kids all just like ran up to him and hugged him when he came back into the stands, and he like picked them up, and it was super, super adorable. All right. So next up, we have another montage starting with Jelani Allen, who goes down on the double dipper. This is a bit of a double dipper montage here. We have the 6th victim, which is Jelani Allen.
Can
the 7th victim
about Jelani Allen. The only reason I remember who he is because he's from Las Vegas. And I remember like the American Ninja Warrior Twitter account or ANW Nation or something tweeting about like this Las Vegan, but vegan is spelled the same way as vegan. And I was like, oh, there's a vegan guy. And then like I was reading about him and I was like, nowhere does it say that he's vegan. Like, what is this? But Las Vegan, not Las Vegan.
He's a very particular kind of vegan where he losses all the time.
Yeah, I was confused. I thought I just read it wrong, but no. Okay. Anyway, that's why I know who Jelani Allen is.
All right, good story. The 7th victim of the double dipper is Luke Chambers. And then the 8th victim was Michael Johnson.
I have an even better story about Michael Johnson. It's the name of my local news anchor. Okay, go on.
Congratulations. So then we have another news anchor slash sportscaster, whatever he is. Mike Tirico joins them.
Tirico, I think.
Tirico?
I don't know. I feel like that's correct.
He had so much great insight.
Yeah. Okay. I was so confused because he was there, I guess, to like promote the Winter Olympics for a second. But then he like stayed and commentated a run.
Well, he's a legendary sportscaster, I assume.
I mean, he is. Like, I know who he is, but like, I was trying to find the pronunciation of his name. I wasn't. Sorry.
Well, he got us some great, you know, points about how it's good that they go fast. Because then they have time left toward the end.
Oh, that's an interesting point.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it that way.
So this is when we get the package about Josh Levin, the 23-year-old pro rock climber. Holy shit.
Yeah, this was so crazy.
I remember that I did not notice Charlie competing in Vegas, and I thought maybe he was just one of the people who went out early, because when he completes the city finals course, I was like, wow, that's so exciting. I can't believe I don't remember seeing him compete. He must not have done well. And then we're like hit by this, like total blindside. Him and Charlie were, training, and Charlie ends up getting injured here. They have like, they even have a video of it, which sounded remarkably scary. Charlie, I guess, fractured his skull and woke up in the hospital. He came close to death. So very, very intense situation here. And that is why he is not competing.
Yeah. And he needs his skull for MIT.
Yeah.
That's where his brain lives.
Yeah, and probably some other things as well.
Probably, but I didn't go to MIT, so I don't know what else is in there.
Yeah, but man, this was harrowing and very upsetting. But they did say that his recovery is going well, and he plans on competing next year. I hope that's true.
Yeah, and the package was so nice about how he and Josh are besties.
Yes. Josh also apparently looking to compete in the Olympics for 2020. So keep on the lookout for Josh Levin.
Yeah, but I feel like it's not even official that climbing is a sport yet in the 2020 Olympics. I feel like it's still in the process of becoming one.
Didn't they announce that it would be?
Oh, I don't know. I know that they announced that they were working on it. Maybe they did announce it. It shows what I know.
Climbing officially approved for 2020 Olympics.
Well, there you go.
2016. Yeah.
All right. Now we'll have to talk about the Olympics.
Yeah. All right. So Josh Levin, he takes on the course here, almost slips up on the propeller bar. That would have been devastating. He manages to hold on with just his fingertips and stays on, and then basically just rocks the course. There's really nothing, no slip ups, no nothing crazy here. Completes the course with a great time.
I get it. He rocks the course.
Yeah.
Please don't make that noise again.
So next up was Kevin Carbone, the 22-year-old tennis instructor, the Maker Ninja. Lita is clutching her heart right now.
I love him. He's so cute.
Well, he is the creator of the Wing Nuts. So, you know, you hope that he's going to be able to do well here, complete or create some more obstacles. That salmon ladder with the pegs looks pretty fun. He's hoping to do well here, but unfortunately doesn't have a whole lot of forward momentum on the jumping spider and ends up going down there.
Yeah, I'm happy they showed him, though.
Yes.
This is like the second time he's been highlighted, which, you know, it seems based on their track record about these fan submitted obstacles, who they generally just like completely gloss over, like they would not give him that much respect. But I'm glad he got highlighted.
He's the Maker Ninja.
I know.
Then we have Jesse LeBrec, the 27-year-old ninja coach. Very funny package. So she gets confused with Jesse Graff all the time. And Chris even told his aunt that he was dating Jesse from American Ninja Warrior. And she was like, oh, Jesse Graff, that's so fun.
The blonde girl with the pigtail?
She's like, no, the other one, the not as good one.
The one with brown hair and normal clothes.
This is very reminiscent of Rob Sesternino being the Rob that sucks here. I think Jesse's getting a bit of the Jesse that sucks treatment.
That's so sad.
But very impressive run here from Jesse. So she really shouldn't be the lesser of the Jessies. Very, very, very impressive. The problem is she gets hung up here on the parkour run, very much like Barclay, but she gets hung up even more so. She spins around, can't get any traction on that landing platform, and has to make a couple more spins before she finally gets off. And by that time, her time is really starting to run low, and she's really, really pumped. She was holding onto that rope for so long. So things were not looking too hot for Jessie. I know I was convinced that she was out of it by the time when I was watching her on parkour run. I was like, that's it, she lost. But then she flew up that wall, she went right across the domino pipes, and this was very, very tense.
Yeah, and it was like confusing to watch too, because it looked like she had it. Like I guess it's impossible to imagine how gassed their grip is after hanging onto that rope or going through something like that. But it just seemed like she had it and she just fell right off.
Yes, well, they had a very good shot of her face on the flying squirrels, where you can see like intense struggle face happening there. She's really struggling to hold on. Very compelling shot there. Obviously, we can't see that from the bleachers. So from our perspective, it looked like she was about to finish this just like everyone else does. And then all of a sudden, instead of holding on, she just flips backwards into the water. I was concerned that she was hurt. And I mean, this was just a very dramatic finish to Jessie's run.
Yeah, and she definitely could have done it, which is at least heartening. And she beat her boyfriend, but she's really emotional when she's talking to Christine. That we could definitely see.
Yeah, there was a lot of emotion happening between Jessie and Barclay and Alyssa. Lots of crying, lots of happy, lots of sad. And it was all taking place right in front of us.
Yeah.
So that was Jessie's run. Next up, we have another montage, starting with Spencer Johnson, who times out on the cargo net. Then Ian Dory, who completes the course. We're skipping that one, I guess. And then Thomas Stillings, again, of all people. Like, they usually like to show these fast guys running through the course, but nothing for Thomas Stillings here, even though he does get the fastest time of the night so far.
And he got a haircut.
Yes, he did. Good haircut.
Which I do not approve of. No.
It's so much better.
No, it's not.
I'm pretty sure you agreed with me at one point that this was so much better.
I don't know. Seeing it on TV, I go back and forth because I'm not a big fan of the ponytail, but I just feel like he's too much forehead with this haircut. Wow.
Next up, we had JJ Woods, the 30-year-old stuntman. I liked this whole package and the run. I thought this was very good. The package was about him falling on the Big Dipper, and then he comes to Vegas and sees the Double Dipper, and he says, "This is like getting beat up by this big guy, and then you go back for more only to see he's even bigger now, and you're just going to get beat up even more." But he manages to get through it this time.
Yeah, I liked this run because there's a close-up of me and not of you in the crowd.
Wow.
Yeah.
He jumps straight through the snake run, actually. He gets through it in three steps, but stumbles a little bit. Again, like really pushing the boundaries here on the snake run. But then we see this very interesting technique here on the parkour run, where he, instead of jumping back to the final platform and jumping onto the rope, he steps on the closer platform to the landing platform and just makes a hop over to it. Very impressive stuff here. We actually had overheard, I think we had talked to some of the people, some of the athletes, and they had mentioned that they were coming up with a strategy for parkour run. And then to see this happen all of a sudden, it was very exciting. Hopefully we'll get to see some other people attempt this as well in the next episode. But yes, very, very cool. Akbar says, what? Oh my goodness, the mother of all innovation.
I thought the mother of all innovation was the Maker Ninja.
Not anymore.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this was super exciting to see in person. Just like it's always exciting when you see someone do something different because we are watching the same course over and over again. And I had no idea that in addition to this Big Dipper rivalry, he also had such a bitterness towards the Switch grip.
Yeah. He nearly misses the transition on Flying Squirrel as well, which was very harrowing, but he does manage to complete the course and talks about how much he hates the Switch grip. Even if everyone else had been doing the Switch grip, he would never do it.
Yeah, he and the Switch grip go way back, bitter rivals.
Yeah. Next up, we have another montage starting with Sean Darling Hammond, who clears the course, then Drew Knopp, who climbed up from Domino Pipes. Like I mentioned, many people actually ended up doing that. He did it correctly, and he does manage to complete the course there. Then Mike Bernardo, who also completes the course, and Kevin Bull, who has some stumbles, but also completes the course. Then we have Dan Yeager, the 34-year-old salon owner, where we get a brief recap of his package, talking about how he was reunited with his biological father because of American Ninja Warrior, but he ultimately misses the transition on the double dipper and goes down.
Yeah, and now he has a Moves Like Jaeger shirt, which I don't know if that's new or if that was just something that he incorporated from the Akbarism.
Maybe. All right, so next up was our good friend Alyssa Beard, the 26-year-old school teacher. Hopefully we'll get to talk through her run with her on Friday, but for now we will just talk about it from what we saw on the episode and in person. She has a great package here. She gets the testimonial package. She's super busy with her job and training. That's why we can't talk to her until Friday. She's got lots of work. School has, I believe, very recently started up again, so she's very busy with that, but we will have a lot of fun talking to her when we get the chance. But very, very awesome and compelling run here. Very emotional to see her complete this course.
Yeah, Curtis Van Zandt asked us on Twitter, how cool was it for you to see Alyssa Beard beat stage one in person? And emotional is exactly the word that I would use. It was really something. It was really special. Everyone was crying, like the ninjas. They showed Jesse crying, and just like there's all these people on the sidelines, like right in front of us as she's doing the Flying Squirrel, just like screaming their heads off.
Yeah, and between Barclay and Jesse, there were so many close calls in terms of like when Barclay got past the jumping spider, it felt like Barclay is going to do this. And then she times out. And then Jesse, obviously, it was like, oh my God, she's going to do this. And then out of nowhere at the end, she falls. So to have Alyssa come and do this, there was almost a little bit of like, oh man, something's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
But she ultimately manages to get through and become only the second woman to ever complete stage one.
And she's just flawless. She's the best. And you can really tell, but her sports bra was like iridescent in person. It was really cute.
And I think the key here was that she managed to get through parkour run very cleanly. She she managed to land straight on the platform. She didn't have to do any extra like rotations on that rope. We see Jesse Lebrecht in tears on the sidelines as she finishes. Like I said, very emotional. Lots of people in tears. And this gets the Palm Wonderful Crazy Healthy run of the night.
Thank God. That's all she's ever aspired to, I'm sure.
Yes. Next up, we have another montage starting with Ben Baker, who does a one-handed grab on the double dipper, almost falls on the jumping spider, and then again has a one-handed save on Flying Squirrel, only to fall right after that. Then we had Flip Rodriguez, who they montaged over. That was pretty disappointing. But he had one of the fastest times of the night. And let me tell you something about Flip here. They have packages about him with the kids all the time. They do not convey just how amazing Flip is with children, because the children love him. They are swarming him all the time, and he handles it like a complete champion. He is so adorable with them. We had one of Flip's like students with us in the stands, and he was like so excited for Flip. And as I mentioned, we couldn't see who was going in the beginning. We had one of the workers announcing who was going to be going up next, but sometimes we didn't hear it. Sometimes he wasn't there to tell us. And so there was actually a moment where somebody said, oh, Flip is going. And so we're like, the kid got really, really excited. He was like, oh my God, Flip. And then this person fell in the very beginning, and this kid was devastated. He was like nearly in tears. He was like, no. It was so adorable. And then when he found out it wasn't Flip, he was just like, yes, Flip.
Yeah. And Flip doesn't, I mean, it's not him like just turning it on to deal with the kids. Like, he loves it. I made a comment to him, like once the kids kind of got all their autographs, I was like, you're getting swarmed by the paparazzi. And he was like, oh, this isn't the paparazzi. I love this. Like, he just like really enjoys interacting with the kids. And also underreported, he has a groin injury when he's running on this. They mentioned briefly that he has a hip injury. He described it as a groin injury in person. But that's not something to like just brush off. Like, that's serious.
Yes. So yeah, I'm very, very impressed by Flip in person. Really great guy. Disappointed to see him montaged here, but hopefully we'll see him in stage two. Next, we had Brent Stephenson, another 7-time vet who ends up with the fastest run of the night up to this point. Good for Brent.
Yeah, and he's rocking the Mr. Mowgli shirt, which is the name of Casey's recently passed away dog.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll end up mentioning that, or if the retiring story will sort of overpower it.
Yeah, I don't know. He and Casey are both wearing the shirts with Mr. Mowgli's face on it.
Yes. So then we have Joe Morofsky, the 28-year-old meteorologist. He holds the record for the fastest time on stage one. He has never failed on stage one before. So very excited to see Joe take on this course. Akbar says at the propeller bar, wow, the propeller bar almost took his head.
Yeah, that would have been something.
It would have been something, yeah. Ends up being the fastest finisher up to this point with over 42 seconds left. He's the 18th finisher of the night on this episode, and he takes a jump into the water afterward.
With his socks on.
Well, he took his shoes off.
Yeah, but that's so gross to me. Nothing worse than jumping into a pool on a hot day with your socks on.
Here's the thing, though. If he takes the time to take his socks off, it ruins the whole thing.
Well,
he was able to very quickly take his shoes off.
They could have edited it out for the TV show.
Yeah, but he wants to play to the crowd, too. Like, he doesn't want to ruin the moment for the crowd.
Okay. Well, what ruined the moment was me being like, ew.
Wow. I bet nobody else was like, ew.
Hope he had like flip-flops to change into.
I'm sure he had extra socks. When I saw him walking around afterward, it did not look like he was squelching around with wet socks.
Okay, I don't think I really took notice of whether or not he was squelching.
Yes. Yes, Joe does very well here. I'm pretty sure when we talked to James that we were talking about how hot it was. And he was like, man, Joe had the right idea just jumping into that water. That's what everyone should do because it was so freaking hot. All right. So next up, we had Lauren Ball, the 30-year-old gym owner wearing a Wolfpack shirt. Repping the Wolfpack. They talk about how he's been the second fastest on stage one 3 times. It's pretty impressive. Yeah.
I have nothing to add to that.
Thrice is about as much as Lita can comment.
It's just factual information. Doesn't require my commentary.
High hopes for Lauren Ball. It looks like this is a comeback season, but unfortunately slips up on the double dipper. He does the cross grip.
The switch grip. JJ Woods warned him.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. So that was it for Lauren Ball. Then we had...
But Lauren's response was funny. He's like sitting in the water and he's like, that sucked.
Yeah. Well, he'd done so much training, like the climbing, the upper body, like this was his year. And then boom, just like that, he's out of it.
Sad, but he'll be back next year. Now he's training with the Wolfpack.
Yes. Then we had Lance Pekus, the 30-year-old rancher. And you talk about blindsides. This really hit me.
Yeah. And now I feel bad about being lukewarm on Lance forever.
I don't feel bad about it, but I'm no longer lukewarm on Lance.
Okay. I agree.
Because he didn't wear his jeans.
Yeah. He wore athletic pants. Good for
him. That's why I'm no longer lukewarm on Lance. Happy to not see him in jeans. Yeah.
That's the most important development.
Yes. His wife has been diagnosed with MS and had gone 8 years without any problems. But over the last 3 years, she has started to deteriorate. In the last 10 months, she's had to go to using a walker. Very, very sad package here. She goes into tears as she's talking. So does Lance. This is just devastating.
Yeah, Lance hadn't even ridden a horse until he met her. They're like, not high school sweethearts, but like just beginning of college sweethearts.
Horse sweethearts?
they've been together forever, like since the beginning of college. And like, it seems like their relationship has been really formative and all of that. This is very sad.
Yeah. And, she just appreciates that he has been sticking by her. It's very emotional stuff. And I was happy to see Lance do well here without the jeans.
Yeah. And I did not remember him going this fast. Maybe I just like didn't have Lance Pekus on my radar as much, but he beats Joe Moravsky's time.
Yes, he doesn't pause at all throughout the entire run. He just races through the course, ends up beating Moravsky's time by 3 seconds, and then puts a little cowboy hat on the buzzer.
I loved that. I thought that was so funny.
I feel like before the package, you would have found it annoying.
No, I wouldn't.
Just calling
have.
My shot.
No, this is cute.
No, it was pretty fun. Little cowboy hat on the buzzer. So Lance Pekus ends up with the top time of the night. And that's our episode.
Yes, indeed. It was an exciting night. We slept until you slept until 4 p.m. the next day.
Yes. So I believe we left with a couple of runs left. We assumed that Grant McCartney was going to be one of them. I slept until we did the cast preview for Big Brother 19 in the morning, and then we basically just went straight back.
Yeah, but at least we ate dinner the second night and were well rested.
Yes. It was a lot more fun the second night. Less dead. Let's run through the finishers here. We had Lance Pekus at the top with the fastest time, followed by Joe Moravsky, then Brent Stephenson, Thomas Stillings, Flip Rodriguez, Travis Rosen, Kevin Bull, Mike Bernardo, and then someone we skipped over here, Eric Middleton, the entomologist.
Oh my God. Wait, can we tell the story of what happened?
Yes. So basically what happened with Eric, Lita's favorite bug scientist, he was one of the first runners through the course. He was, I think he was going to be the first finisher of the night.
Oh, definitely.
And he took on the parkour run and broke the rope.
The rope just fell off.
He jumped onto the rope and it fell right with him, and he went straight into the water. And very annoying because I was very tired, and it took a long time for them to fix this stupid thing. But it was crazy because, again, he was on pace to be the first finisher of the night. And it was going to be Eric Middleton out of nowhere. And he ends up falling there and has to run again later on in the night.
Yeah, and we weren't told whether or not he'd be allowed to go again. Whether they would own up for their...
We assumed that he would get another chance, but obviously he can't start from parkour run, so he has to do the entire course from the start again. And then, after having to do this twice, it doesn't even get shown. I guess because they want to keep this quiet, but man.
I guess. I was really hoping that they would at least montage him. That was one of the more interesting things that happened that night. I believe the crowd was chanting, "Not his fault, not his fault."
But he does end up running again with a different t-shirt on and manages to finish stage one the second time around. So Eric Middleton does manage to get through here to stage two. Then we also have Cass Clausen, Michael Selensky, Nick Kostreski, JJ Woods, Josh Levin, Drew Knapp, Alyssa Beard, Ian Dory, Andrew Lowe's, Sean Darling Hammond, and Nick Hansen. Those are our 20 finishers for night one of the two-night Las Vegas National Finals airing here. 20 finishers. That's a lot of finishers for one night.
Yeah, it's a lot of finishers. Again, the commentary about there being maybe a little too much time.
Yes, something that was being talked about as we were, there was a lot of talk about, like, is this course a little easy? So what's happening here? It seems like this course is a little easy. Yes, a lot of finishers. This is probably one of the most amount of finishers on a single night of stage one episode airing that we've had. So we'll see how that progresses as we move forward into night two. But that is our episode. Again, make sure you check out the feed. Make sure you're subscribed to American Ninja Warrior Rehap Up on iTunes so that you don't miss our interview with Alyssa about her run and everything that it meant to her and all of that. Very, very much looking forward to talking with her.
Yes. And you should subscribe so that you can leave a review for us, which yes. I have. How'd you like that transition? Okay. This is a very funny review. I wish people would not throw me under the bus like this, but I'm going to read this review. It's from Anne Marie 28. Taryn, please hold your commentary until the end. There's a plot twist. So she says, Taryn and Lita provide amazing coverage of American Ninja Warrior while making fun of everything about the show. Their sarcastic coverage of ANW is something I look forward to every week. Taryn is a great podcaster, but Lita is superior. Lita provides a unique perspective and is an altogether better podcaster. BTW, Lita paid me $20 to say that.
Oh, there you go.
So I could have just not read till the end of that. But now you know that you can trust me.
I think everyone would have assumed that you bribed that person anyway.
I want to say I did not bribe Anne Marie 28, but thank you for the 5-star review. Also, a different review mentions that they think of Big Ben as a football player, which several people tweeted me that they think of Big Ben as the football player and not the clock, even though that wasn't even the debate that I was saying.
Look, just because there are some weirdos out there doesn't mean that you've proven your point.
That was not my point in the first place. I'm just saying that Big Ben has a heavy association with Steelers football.
Did you get any other comments or questions?
I read the questions that we had. You need to come up with some Akbarisms for the senior quote. I have a couple of suggestions.
Dip, baby, dip. Let's go.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think this is the one is from Team Ninjoria. I kind of went back in my notes and just like Command F Akbar. And one of them was from Team Ninja Warrior. He says, big time, prime time, show time, all time, good time, it's party time. I feel like that's a senior quote. He also says, you've got to believe to achieve at one point. And a little off the wall, there was one where someone was, he like wrapped his whole arm around one of the obstacles, like the pipe fitter or something. And Akbar says, get your underarm in there, get your deodorant involved. I feel like if you want a more memorable senior quote, you should go with that one.
Yeah, I mean, people will be wondering what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is always the legacy that you want to leave in high school or college if you go to some weird college where you have a senior quote.
My vote is still for dip, baby, dip. Let's go.
Yeah, it's a good one. So those are all your choices, Maya. Let me know what you go with.
All right. Again, make sure you check out our episode next week. That is when we can splice in some of that stuff from Megan and John. Hopefully we get to see their runs in stage one. And of course, make sure you check out the Taryn Show. I talked with Aubrey Bracco of Survivor, Ko-Rong, and Game Changers, all about all sorts of stuff, including Survivor, her life as a journalist, and what she's up to now. And it was very, very fun. So make sure you check it out. And check out our Big Brother coverage. We're still going strong every morning at 10 a.m. on the weekdays and then noon on Friday through Sunday. We are updating you on the live feeds. So make sure you check all that out and listen to Lita's So You Think You Can Dance podcast.
Yes, we have our first guest tonight. I am so excited. We have Katie Sheen from season 4. You may remember her from the door routine with Twitch, one of the all-time big time showtime party time routines. We are super excited to talk to her about what she's been up to since the show and get her take on everything that's happening. Her castmate Comfort is one of the all-stars. Obviously, a lot of stuff there. So please listen to that. We're super excited to interview her.
All right. So thank you guys for checking this out. Very excited to be moving forward with these national finals. This is always an exciting time in American Ninja Warrior fandom. So keep your ear out for our podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at Armstrong Taren. Lita is at Lita Tweeted. You can also follow her on Instagram, just like Megan Martin, if you go to at Lita Grammed. And that's it. Make sure you check out all the iTunes stuff. You can find us on rapazawebsite.com and all of that good stuff. So thank you everyone for joining us. We will see you next time.